Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Had 31 in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to continue to encourage everyone to participate and come if you can. I know in the classes and everything, we have a good time, but we have a joyful time studying God's Word, and that's what it's for, y'all. And promise you, if you'll attend Sunday school, you will enjoy it. We have some very good teachers and committed teachers and all, and invite a friend, or invite people to come to Sunday school and join us in Sunday school. Tonight, after the evening services, there will be a fellowship in recognition of Pastor Appreciation Month. If you will, please bring finger food for that, and please invite everyone to come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and then after the service, we will have a fellowship in recognition of Brother Tim.
So it's not going to be a pastor roasting, it's going to be a
pastor. No.
I wanted to make sure.
And please, it's a whole month, so we wait till the end of the month, but it's actually Pastor Appreciation Month, and they deserve appreciation not for just one month. They deserve 12 months out of the year, 365 days. Our pastor deserves our fellowship and our recognition and appreciation of him. So please plan on coming back tonight, and we'll have the opportunity to fellowship and with Brother Tim and Amy. Christmas backpacks for foster care children. The items are due today. If you have not brought them, you can. If you have, thank you. We have the backpacks. We'll get them packed and everything, and get them to the associational office. But if you have not brought your items, you can bring them tonight. We still have time for that. Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry starts today. Boxes are due Sunday, November the 17th. Shoeboxes, if you need a shoebox, shoeboxes are on the table as you enter the sanctuary in the back. If you need help putting the shoebox together, don't ask me. Ask Heavenly. Heavenly knows how. She's raising her hand. You wouldn't think something that simple would be that complicated, but they are plenty of shoeboxes there. Take as many as you would like, and just have them back here by Sunday, November 17th. Ladies, do not forget Tuesday, October 29th at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting here at the church. That's 6:30 Tuesday. Thursday, October 31st at 5:30 p.m. is the Trunk and Treat. So please come and help us with that, and we'll have a good time there. Wednesday, November the 6th, 6:30 p.m. I tell you, y'all just thought October. We had a great October, we did, and a joyful October. That was just the beginning, y'all. Amen. Wednesday, November 6th, Wednesday, November the 6th, 6:30 p.m., fellowship meal. We'll have spaghetti and church conference. Sign-up sheet on the table as you enter sanctuary for the items needed for the meal. So please remember that. Sunday, November 17th, we'll have a special guest speaker. Friendsgiving is the title of it, with Brother Tim Williams. That'll be a morning and evening service. Please bring a guest and family, and we'll have a fellowship meal covered dish after the morning service then. And then on Sunday, November 24th at 6 p.m. is the community Thanksgiving here at Wiggum Baptist Church. And you'll hear more about that, the items that we'll need. We'll need, just like we did with the associational meeting, we'll need all hands on deck if possible. We need all the help we can to help serve after the community Thanksgiving service. That's Sunday, November 24th. Any other announcements? Tim?
I do do want to say, I mentioned this Wednesday night, but I do want to say thank you to everybody from the cleanup to preparation to getting everybody here last Sunday night, meeting everybody. I thought it was a huge success, and I just appreciate everything everybody did to make it a success.
One other announcement, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, first Sunday of November. We will have our Sunday school morning breakfast at 9. Is that 60 at 9 o'clock? 9 a.m. So just come for breakfast, okay? Don't need to.
Just come to breakfast.
Just come to breakfast. So this is an opportunity for to show you that we appreciate you and everything. You don't need to, just bring yourself. Don't bring anything else. And the only requirement is if you come to breakfast, you need to stay for Sunday school. And Tony? Thank you. Time changes next Sunday. I would have. So spring forward, fall back, right?
Just don't set your clock and you'll be here for breakfast.
Cece, just have a great idea. I mean, that's why we have, just don't set your clock and you'll be here for breakfast. So that's, thank you, Cece. Thank you, Brother Tony. Time does change. Any other announcements? Well, good. Any birthdays? Somebody somewhere. Because I saw a cake going, I don't know who it is. I saw a cake going down the hallway. Jane? Okay, any others? Harold, will you come lead us in?
Well, you can. All right, let's all sing. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's open up our worship service with a word of prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day and the opportunity once again, Lord, to come and gather today and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray for the services today, Lord, as we enter into the service, the formal part of our service, Lord, with singing the songs of praise and glorifying God through music, Lord. I just pray for that, Lord. I pray for Brother Tim as he'll stand before us today and proclaim your word today, Lord. And Lord, as I always pray, Lord, I know there are so many things going on in our personal lives, Lord. There are things going on in our work lives and things like that, Lord. But Lord, just let us put all that aside today, Lord. We are here to worship and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray that we will be able to do that today, Lord. We pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that as we talked about in Sunday school, Lord, let us never minimize the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, Lord. You are in control. You have authority over all things, Lord. And Lord, we just want to recognize and glorify you. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah, last weekend was a huge success, and we were sitting back in the back working the sound, and Sean was working the screen. My grandson was back there with us, and I looked out at the full church, and I said, you know, Ashton, when I came up, the church was full, and it sounded like, I said, because we were noticing how great it sounded with everybody singing. Just a great weekend, and made me think, let's all invite somebody. Not just one, let's invite a lot of people to come to church. If we're not careful, somebody might get saved. So please stand as we sing, Now I Belong to Jesus. If you're looking in the hymn, it was 345.
Thank you.
Sunday school teachers and our Sunday school. Deacon Snorri and Trustee Eric Richard. I know we take out this offering, it's going to be good, but I can be your way. Pay the Father's name, amen.
Take the Bible this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter 15. John 15. In October of 2018, we all remember Hurricane Michael was blowing through the panhandle of Florida and then slowly made its way up into southwest Georgia. As it came through our area, or closer up, a little further here, came up, winds got harder and harder, and trees started falling. And I remember that as the wind was picking up, we have some church members over in Moultrie that live in a single-wide trailer and have pecan trees all around the house. And so I was trying to text him, Kenny, and he wouldn't answer. So I started texting his wife and telling her that, you know, they were welcome. We still had power and phone service and all, and that they could come and stay with us, you know, through the storm. And as we were texting back and forth, that we still had power, we still had phone, so guess what? Everything went off. So, anyhow, I thought about that, and I thought about how quickly we can lose connection. Back in September 26th of this year, you know well, as the day Hurricane Helene starts coming up through Taylor County and then into Lowndes County and Brooks County and all, and the damage it did then. And I remember that night as we were here at the church staying the night, we were texting back and forth with the kids, making sure everybody was okay. And our daughter Ariel, as you know, lives in Valdosta. And so she texted us a picture of her and her roommates and some other friends of theirs. And they're all huddled inside the laundry room. And the look on her face was one of terror. At the time, she had power. At the time, she had connectivity to cell phone. But then, shortly after that, guess what happened? Lights out, power out, cell phone signal was spotty at best. Why was that? Because, as you know, you can be connected to something, but you can also be disconnected. Right? sometimes it's maybe through no fault of ours, and other times it may be a direct result of something we have done. As we look at this passage this morning, I want us to think about what Jesus is saying here, because it is very important to realize. I noticed y'all looking at this vacuum up here, so I'm going to go ahead and do my illustration before I forget to do it, because I'm bad about that. Yes, I do know how to work a vacuum. Let's just say, see the cord right there is plugged in. Does the outlet have power? We hope it does, right? If I turn this on, and as I start vacuuming, what do I do? What do you do in life? We oftentimes get busy, right? We go this way and we're going that way. And pretty soon we're getting stretched out, right? Life's hard. Cord getting thinner. I'm going to do this easy where I'm going to snatch the plug out of the wall. After a while, in our personal lives and in our spiritual lives, what can happen? We lose power. Jesus says in this passage, in verse 5, we're going to read all of them in just a minute. I'm going to wait to see this. Jesus says, without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. You see, oftentimes, we can play church. We can do all the right things, say all the right things, give the right amount. We can do all that, but there's many times we can become disconnected from the power of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you're saved, you're saved forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I feel like oftentimes, and I know it's reality in my own life, so I'm just sharing from personal experience. We can be doing all the things that God wants us to do, but we can become disconnected from the power source. We can become disconnected from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here again, I'm not saying we lose our salvation, but we can become disconnected, so to speak, from the power that God wants us to live in today. Let's read John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, Lord, we're thankful for it. Lord, I pray that you just, Lord, put in our hearts and minds a wake-up call. Lord, that just because we're saved doesn't mean we're walking in the power that you choose to give to us and want to give to us. Lord, it's something we need to do, and it is something we need to make a priority in our lives, Lord, and that is putting you first. Lord, I pray today that you just, Lord, show us the power that we need to be living in, and may we do our part, Lord, to be found abiding in you. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing that we notice here is that Jesus says he is the what? If you're not connected to the vine, that means you're lost, right? Plain and simple. Just like, you know, the wheat tares, the sheep and goats and everything else. We kind of talked a little bit about those last Sunday. But the reality of it is that if I never bear any fruit in my life, can I ever say that I was connected to the vine? The branches that never produce are going to be taken. They're going to be pruned. Because they've never produced any kind of fruit. But then we must realize too that it's not just the vines that have never produced fruit that are going to be taken away. The vine dresser, the Father, God the Father, is also going to prune who? The vines that are connected. Because how many of you have ever owned a grapevine? What? If you just plant it and leave it alone for 25 years, what's it going to do? Not a whole lot. It's going to grow. It's going to get wild. And it's going to get diseased and eat up the bugs. Because one of the purposes of trimming off the dead branches, the branches that are no good, is because that's where infection and disease come from, and insects enter into the vine through the dead stuff. So the vine dresser, the first thing he's going to do is come along and he's going to take off those dead branches. But that's not all he wants to do. Because he wants to come through, and as you know, when you trim a vine, what happens to that vine when you trim off the good stuff on the end? Next year, what's it going to do? It's going to sprout off kind of new vine. And the more vines you got, generally the more grapes you're going to get, right? I don't know about kudzu, that's a whole other story, right? But with vines, you trim the bad off, but you also trim the good. That way you can get even more fruit from it next year. How do we do that? Jesus tells us here, he says in verse 4, abide in me. Now, what does the word abide mean? It means to stay in, dwell in, live in. It has all those synonyms that can go along with that, because it really means to be found in him. So you and I need to make it a priority to be abiding in him. But so many times what happens, just as we're living life out and we're getting stretched out and we're going here and we're going there, and we got kids and we got grandkids and got this and you got that, and pretty soon you used to read your Bible, but guess what happens? Oh, I don't have time today. I got too much to do. Anybody been there? Anybody done that? But here's the problem. I'm saying this because I find it to be true in my own life. When you skip one day of reading God's word, guess what Satan's going to do to you tomorrow? He's going to fill your plate so full that you say, well, I didn't have time yesterday. And Jesus says, without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
I want to give us, and these hopefully be quick, five realities about bearing fruit. Five realities about bearing fruit. Number one, we will not bear fruit by association. Y'all hear me on this. You will not bear fruit by association. You can come to Wigan Baptist Church every time the doors are open, but you're not going to bear fruit because you have an association with Wigan Baptist Church. You're not going to bear fruit just because you have a baptism certificate or your name on a church roll. That does not cause you to bear fruit. You will not bear fruit by being connected to Grady County Baptist Association. You will not bear fruit because of being connected to the Georgia Baptist Convention or the Southern Baptist Convention. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And when you do that, I'm paraphrasing, you will bear what? A little tiny bit of fruit or no fruit at all?
Much fruit.
See, the Jews missed it. The Jews thought because they could trace their family tree, I can't even trace mine in the past two, three generations. You go back a few generations and there's the Duggins, right? Well, Abraham's family, and they made sure they kept records. Everybody was a, what they call, genealogist. Is that correct? They kept it all. Man, they had their records, because if I could trace my lineage back to Abraham, then that means I have a spot in heaven, and nobody else that does not or cannot trace their lineage to Jesus or to Abraham, they can't go to heaven. So it's just me and nobody else. If I'm a Jew, I can trace my lineage to Abraham, so therefore I am guaranteed a spot in heaven. You know, there are some people who, and I hear this often, yeah, my granddaddy was a preacher. Why, that gives them a right to go to heaven. Or my mama used to teach Sunday school. What about you? Are you bearing fruit? You see, they missed him. The Jews missed it. They missed who Jesus was. And so Jesus says, listen, I am the vine. And Isaiah talked about the vine. And all throughout the Old Testament, Israel is talked about as a vine, as a grapevine. And Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the vine. And they missed who Jesus was. You can't just say, well, I didn't know. Here's the thing. Jesus in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is the vine, and he is telling them, he's saying, listen, you can't get there by your works. You can't get there by who you're kin to. None of that matters. What matters is that I am the only way. And the only way you're going to get to my Father in the heaven is to get there through me. You're going to have to believe and trust in me. I am the only way. And there's no other truth. It's not about Abraham. It's about the faith that Abraham had in God the Father. It's about him fulfilling his promises. He says, I am the vine. I am the only way. He is the only way. Jesus is the only way to be connected to the power to live. He's the only way to be connected to the power to be saved. He's the only way to be connected to the power to rise from the dead. He's the only way that we can be connected to the power to have eternal life in heaven with God the Father. Without him, Jesus says, you can do nothing. You can't do it. See, Jesus is the name above all names. And it is at his name that every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. Number two, we will not bear fruit by apathy. What is apathy? Come on, y'all, help me out. Apathy. Just going with the flow. Just don't care. Don't think anything matters. There, as I mentioned already, there's two types of pruning. One for the branch that does not bear any fruit at all. It's going to be cut. It's going to be thrown into the fire.
But then there's also, the pruning that happens to those who do bear fruit. The purpose is for us to bear more fruit. Oftentimes when I speak to people, they tell me, well, I used to do this and that. But Lord, anybody ever heard those words? I used to. I'm saying this from the heart, okay? If you get offended, that's okay. What stopped you from bearing fruit? What stopped you from being fruitful? Can I give a little hint right here? And I know that there's circumstances and I don't know the whole story and I get all that. But God does, right? He knows. Revelation chapter 2. Listen to what John writes here. Really quoting what Jesus said. Because he's talking to the church. And guess who the church is? It's not the building, right? It's the people. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Can I make this suggestion? The reason why we've stopped bearing fruit for the Lord, if we've ever got more fruit for Him, is because we don't love Him like we used to. Ooh. When you love somebody, what do you want to do for them? Any and everything you can. Think of your kids. Think of your parents. Think about your, well, brothers and sisters might be a different story. You love them, but in a different kind of way, right? If we love God, what should we want to do for Him? Serve Him, bear fruit for Him. We should want those things in our lives that honor and glorify Him. And Jesus said, listen, church, I have this against you. You have left your first love. The world's sidetracked. The world's got you stretched out. You've become disconnected from the power source. Not that you've lost who you are in Christ, but the power's no longer running in you and through you because you're disconnected. You can have a phone, but if you don't have signal, that phone ain't no good. We cannot hang our hats on the past. We cannot say, well, just because I bore fruit yesterday that I'll bear fruit again tomorrow. We have to stay connected. We not only have to be connected, that is through salvation, but we must stay connected for the power of God to live in us and through us. My thought was this. If something's taking God's place in our lives, what is God going to have to prune out of our lives to get us to bear much fruit? Want me to say that again? If something in our lives has caused us to stop bearing fruit for the Lord, what is it that He is going to have to cut out of our lives to make us fruitful for Him again? Because if you're His child, He's going to prune you. He's going to take those things. Believe me, I know you can ask me. I ain't in my boat. Because when you're not doing what God wants you to do, He'll slowly start taking things away from you. He'll start pruning off those things that you don't need. Number three. We will not bear fruit by arguing. Y'all never heard of argument in church, have you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. my way, your way. Let's ask God what is his way. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's supposed to be about him. And anything else that causes distractions, whether, you know, churches are splitting over Calvinism versus Arminianism, whether you're blue and orange or garnet gold or red and black, you know, people want to divide over everything. We got politicians who just constantly want to divide, 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 and the Lord calls his church to be unified, right? He calls us to be in one accord, to be with him. We're not going to bear fruit for the Lord by arguing. We talked about the power. We talked about the power in the Christian's life. Romans 1:16. This is what Paul says. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Listen, that is the power. That is the dunamis. That is like dynamite. That is the power that God gives to us who believe, who are saved. And Jesus here in John 15:1-5, he say, "Listen, I've already spoken the word to you. You're already clean." Why were they clean? Because the gospel, they believed in it. But they needed to abide in it too. Because the gospel has the power to save us, but it also gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to live for the Lord. But we have a part in that we believe, we read the Word of God, we let the Word of God dwell in us, we let the Holy Spirit take up residence in our lives. We don't let Satan in and say, "Come on, we can have the Lord living on this side and Satan living on that side." It's not going to work. Gospel that saves us, it's the gospel that cleanses us, it is the gospel that changes us, and it is the gospel that gives us the power to live a Christian life that honors our Lord and Savior. Number four, we will not bear fruit by activity. Now, I want to be very careful here. It is a good thing to be busy at church. Amen. But if the only reason we're doing it is to just get together, fellowship, have fun, then we are no different than a country club. Right? If Jesus needed to be busy about the Father's work, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be busy about sharing our faith and inviting people to come here to, so that hopefully they can believe? A branch cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine. The problem is, and can be, I'm not saying this is a reality here, but it can be. It can happen here. We can get so busy doing the busy things about church that we even become disconnected from the power source. That's why everything we do needs to be Christ-centered. It needs to be focused on the Lord. It needs to be prayed up, right? It needs to be putting him first and making sure that what we do isn't being done just so that we can make a check mark on the box. So, well, we did it. Are we doing it for the Lord? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Are we doing it with the right motives? Are we honoring him? Are we seeking to honor him? See, one thing I know about grapevines, because I've had a few in our time, when you cut a good grapevine off the grape branch, if you want to call it that, or the small one off the big one, and you throw it out in the sun for a little bit, guess what happens to that little vine? Shrivels up. Instead of being bright green or grayish green, that thing would turn brown in just a matter of days. It withers. And you know what? It don't take long for you and I to weather in our spiritual life. When we become disconnected from the power source and from the divine, not that we lose our salvation, but our spiritual well-being, everything about us, we cannot do anything without the Lord Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. We must stay focused on Jesus. Listen, we don't need more busyness. Being busy is a good thing, but we don't need more busyness. We really need more brokenness. We need more brokenness before the Lord. We don't need more activities. We need more abiding in Christ, because that's what He told us to do. We don't need more happiness, which, you know, I hear from time to time people say, well, God wants me to be happy. If you find that verse, you show it to me, please. Please, because I've never read it in the Bible. My Bible tells me God wants me to be holy. Joy comes from serving the Lord. Joy comes from being in His will. Joy comes from serving Him. Joy comes from abiding in Him. Happiness is transparent, and it's here today and gone tomorrow, because what makes you happy today? When you get the new car, right? And you get the new car payment, when you make the first payment, are you as happy as the day you got it? Mm-hmm. No. We don't need more programs. We need more prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. We need more people to pray and be on their knees and come together and lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we lift Him up, He promises that when He's lifted up, He will do what? Draw all men unto Himself. We need to be connected to the power source. Number five, and we'll close with this. We will only bear fruit when we are abiding in Christ. That is the only time we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit when we're abiding in Him. And you say, well, Brother, how do I do that? And I've kind of already said it already. But we need to be in the Word of God. You can't know how to fight Satan unless you're in the Word of God, because that's what helps us quench the fiery darts of the evil one. We need to be in prayer, because I believe in prayer God gives us discernment about what's true and what's false. I believe in abiding. We take the Word of God. We read it. We meditate on it. We strive to understand it. We strive to live it out. And as we do, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He begins to make it grow through that vine, because that's what connects us through the Word of God and through the vine, and we are being fed the nutrients that God intends for us to have, and we begin to grow, and we begin to bear fruit. There's nothing we can do on our own that brings any eternal value unless what we do is done while we are abiding in the Lord. We can do all the right things. Here again, if we have the wrong motives, then we're doing the wrong thing. We need to be doing the right thing with the right motives and for the Lord, and then we will bear fruit. One last thought here. You ever find yourself really, really busy? Anybody? Busyness without being connected to the vine will lead to burnout. Busyness without the Lord's help, without His strength, without His provision, without His nutrients, whatever it is He wants to supply to us, without His power living in and through us, we will be burned out in no time. And that's what happens many times we go through life when we try to do what we do. And we try to do it all in our own strength. Jesus is saying, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, sure, you can get up, brush your teeth. Sure, you can drive to work. But you're not going to be successful. You're not going to do the things that I want you to do and accomplish the fruit bearing that I want you to do unless you're connected to me. Let me ask you today, what are you abiding in? Are you abiding in yourself? Are you abiding in your job? Are you abiding in your relationships? Or are you abiding in Christ? Are you abiding in the Lord? Are you trusting Him? Are you working your very best to stay not only connected to Him, but in Him? Because He says, if we abide in Him, He'll abide in us. And as we allow Him to abide in us, we're not just going to produce a little fruit. We're going to produce much. Who are you connected to today? Some of you may not be connected to the vine at all. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sure, you might can tell me that I've got my name on the church roll. I've been baptized on such and such a date. But you know right now the Lord has been talking to you and He's saying, listen, you're not connected. You've never borne any fruit. Maybe today you need to come forward and get that right. And so, Brother Tim, I need to get connected to the Lord. Some of you have no power in your life because you might be saved, but somehow the busyness of the world has got you stretched out and come loose from the power supply. And maybe you just need to come and confess those sins to the Lord and turn and get reconnected. Start abiding in Him. It's never too late to do the right thing. Amen? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, there's one here who's never trusted you, who's never been connected to you through faith, through grace that you offer to all of us freely. Lord, today I pray would be the day that we would just turn it loose and say, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, make me, mold me, shape me into who you want me to be. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, I put my faith and trust in you. Lord, I would imagine today for many of us we'd say, Lord, we know we're saved. We put our faith and trust in you, but for somehow, some reason, Lord, we just feel like we have no power in our lives. We have no power over what's going on. We have no power over the sin in our lives. We have no power to live for you. And maybe today it's because we have not been abiding in you. We have not been staying connected to the power supply, which is you. Lord, I pray today that whatever decisions we need to make, Lord, we would make them. And Lord, that we would humble ourselves to hear your word, but not just to hear it, Lord, to do it. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.